Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will resume our series of studies on the Christian walk. And for those of you who have been listening to this series, you will recognize that we are showing that the walk is the daily life of the Christian. We walk in newness of life, according to Romans 6 and 4. We live in a whole new sphere. We walk in faith, and that employs a whole new principle, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. We walk in love, a whole new attitude. And today on the broadcast, we wish to consider the subject, walking in the Spirit, a whole new power. The Spirit of God is the power of the Christian life. I think perhaps many people just feel that they cannot endorse Christianity, cannot embrace Christianity, perhaps is the better way of putting it, because they feel they can't live up to it. They have high standards of living. They say, if I want to do a thing, I want to do it well, and I just can't live up to it. May I say this? You can live up to it in the power of the Spirit of God. We Christians have help in living the Christian's life, living the Christian life. God does not save us and then tell us, in effect, now look, I extricated you from that awful mess of sin. Christ died for your sins on the cross. You don't have to go to hell. He loved you. He died for your sins so you could be saved. Now go out and see if you can't live your life according to His standards. Now, He doesn't say that. He gives us the help of the Spirit. We have help. We're not on our own. And the power of the Spirit, indeed, is a whole new power for living the Christian life. Let's consider, if we can, and we should, indeed, the fact that the Spirit is the power of the Christian life. We walk in the Spirit. For instance, we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. We will not expound this to any great degree, but we want to show that we walk in the Spirit. Here it is, in Galatians 5 and 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Of course you can't keep the flesh under control. The Spirit can. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Later in that chapter, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, in the matter of salvation, the Spirit Himself is the author of salvation. He convicts us of our sins, first of all, before we get saved, before we trust the Lord. We've got to know why we're trusting Him. We're sinners. We need to be saved. And so we read in John chapter 16, verses 7 to 11, these words. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Comforter here is indeed capitalized. It is the Spirit of God. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, the Spirit, of course, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, Christ has sent the Spirit of God into this world to convict us of our sins. He's a comforter for the Christian, but a convictor for those that don't know God. We read He's a comforter in verse 7 and verse 8, and when He has come, He will reprove, the word is actually convict, the world of sin. And if the Spirit does not convict us, we will not see any great need of a Savior. But He does convict us of our need of Christ. And then He accomplishes the word of salvation in us by saving us. As we read in John chapter 3, the Lord's message to Nicodemus. In that wonderful chapter, the Lord told Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and I might add, will never be more. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. Nicodemus was puzzled. And our Lord Jesus Christ says you've got to be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, what is the water here? The Spirit, of course, is the Spirit of God. But what is the water? The water is the Word of God. Throughout the Scriptures, we read of the Word of God being prefigured by water in a basin. The laver, the water in the laver in the tabernacle is a picture of the Word of God. And they had to cleanse themselves with that water. And so we see two agencies at work in the salvation of the soul, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and they are linked together. Now, the Spirit uses the Word of God to show us of our need in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5, we read these words there. I think probably we'd better read from the beginning of the chapter. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, you Corinthians, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now he's talking about his words here. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now he says also in verses 9 and 10 of this chapter, But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And he uses the Word of God to show us what Christ did for us. Now, did you notice here, in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, how the Apostle Paul links the Spirit with the Word? And, of course, his words were God-given words, God-breathed words. He wasn't quoting from 1 Corinthians. He was making 1 Corinthians with his words. And he told them the story of the gospel, the Word of God. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God linked up together in that wonderful portion of Scripture. We read there, 1 Peter 1, 22, Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. What's the truth? The truth is the Word of God. Through the Spirit. You see, they're linked together. The Spirit uses the Word of God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. The next verse, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again by the Word of God, that is exactly what the Lord is telling Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Under the figure of the water, born of the water and of the Spirit. We need the Word of God, first of all, to tell us we're sinners, and then to tell us of the wonders of God's salvation, which he wrought in Christ when he died on the cross to take away our sins. Nicodemus was puzzled about this matter of being born again, and the Lord gives him one of the best verses in the Bible to tell us what it means to be born again. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son to die upon the cross of Calvary, that we might look there and see what God has done about our sins. We think so many people are so disturbed about the problem of their sins, they think they've got to take care of it by living a better life. Well, there's nothing wrong with living a better life, but it's a matter of taking away the sins that we've already committed, and that was done at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to just look at that cross as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so the Spirit of God directs our attention to the cross. Now, when we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, the Spirit of God gives us the power. He gives us the power to be saved. He saves us, rather. And the power can do more than we imagine. I'll tell you, the Spirit of God is the power of God in our lives all the way. Now, we read that the Spirit of God works through us. His power works through us. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, for instance, there, the Apostle Paul prays this prayer to the Ephesians, for the Ephesian Christians, and he tells them about the might of the Spirit of God in the Christian life. Let's read in the third chapter there. Verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, yes, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. This is the means of our salvation. The Spirit of God in the inner man works by might, and then he works through us after we're saved." And we read down farther in this chapter, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us." What is that power? Well, Paul has just told them. The power is the Spirit of God, and he works in us. And we're told in the Scriptures not to quench the Spirit. When he wants to use our mouths as a testimony to Christ, we should not quench the Spirit, and we should not grieve the Spirit. The Spirit would have put Christ before us and indeed bring us into his image. May we not hinder his work, and may we walk in the Spirit, that new power. Our Father, today, make these things real in our lives, we pray. In the power, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.